Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
The hospice movement has grown tremendously since it was first developed in England in 1967. We're going to talk about hospice and what it means to families where they're in very difficult situations in life, and it provides many services. We're going to hear about them. My guests are Tim McDonough, who is a board member and a volunteer with Hospice of the Chesapeake, and Linda Turner, who's coordinator for its children's bereavement camps. Tim and Linda, thank you so much for coming. I'm always so impressed by the scope of the programs that you all provide to people, because I think the concept originally was that hospice was designed to enable people to stay in their homes when they were facing the end of their life. And it has gone so tremendously. So part of the programs here, Linda, is the one that you're involved in, mm-hmm. which is the Children's Bereavement Camp. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have two camps. The original camp, and probably the larger one, is called Camp NABI. It's N-A-B-I is how it's spelled, which is actually the Korean word for butterfly. So that was the inspiration for the camp, was this idea of the butterfly of when you're grieving, you sort of cocoon yourself and you withdraw, but then eventually with time and healing, you can emerge as this beautiful transformed butterfly, that actually something beautiful can come out of something so horrible as death and loss. So that was sort of the general idea of how we got the name for
it. So the camp itself provides a counseling environment almost for children who've lost parents, mm-hmm. siblings. Is it typically that, or do you also have children who are facing terminal illness?
No, Camp NABI is strictly for children that are grieving a loss. So it's more of the aftercare part of hospice. There are some other organizations, I believe, that do to care for children in the earlier stages. But for us, we're just in the bereavement stage.
And what would typically happen if a parent is listening and they've lost a loved one? Then they would contact Hospice of the mm-hmm. Chesapeake about a child attending this camp?
Absolutely. They can contact us at Hospice of the Chesapeake, or they can go to our website, which is www.chesapeakelifecenter.org,
okay.
and can find all the information there.
That's a very positive name. I like the name.
Yes, it is.
The Life Center.
It is. And we are the bereavement branch of Hospice of the Chesapeake,
mm-hmm.
Under the same umbrella, but our services are to help families after a loved one has died.
All right. Now, you talked about one camp. Is there a second one?
Yes. We also have a camp for teens called Phoenix Rising. And that, let's see, NABI, this would be our 22nd year. Phoenix will be 12. So we developed that 10 years after Camp NABI.
For the older child.
For the teenagers, mostly high school kids right. is usually what I classify. And they are both actually right now held at the same weekend. So it's mm-hmm. sort of one large camp experience, but we break it into two separate camps.
Okay. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about some of the things you do there.
Great.
But I wanted to go to Tim. Tim, you're a friend of mine. I've known you for years, and you've always, since I know, have been involved in the Hospice of the Chesapeake. What motivated you, because you don't even live in Annapolis area, what motivated you to get involved in this?
The organization itself is incredible. The community involvement in Annapolis and Prince George's County, which are the areas that we cover, is incredible. The close-knit feeling of everyone involved in hospice is tremendous, and it just kind of drew me there, besides the introduction from a client of mine mm-hmm. That kind of introduced me to Hospice of the Chesapeake. But it's very much a family feel when you are working there or volunteering or helping to raise money, which is obviously what we're doing
mm-hmm.
A lot of these days as we get more and more shortcomings from.
Right. We all need – that's unfortunately, it's a fact of life, isn't mm-hmm. it, for nonprofits. to be out there raising funds. Well, you in the your real world, you're an interior designer, and I know you've put this skill to use and the design set the tables and the things that you've done for the benefits that hospice holds.
Right.
And you have something coming up in the very near future, too, I believe, in May.
Right. Well, for Gala, which is our major fundraiser, which we just finished at the end of March. I help with the committee. I'm on the Gala committee, and I have been for the last six galas, and work on decorations and making sure that it's a nice environment to raise money. And then we have our fifth annual Fashion for a Cause. And third time at Porsche Annapolis dealership, which is so graciously hosting us again for the fashion show.
I mean, it's a red carpet fashion show. You all do a beautiful job on it. And and you can find out about it if you're interested in attending. It's called, just go to hospice100.org, and you can find out all about this lovely fashion event. And let me warn you, don't wait, because it does sell out. It's a very popular event.
Yeah, we're limited by the number of people we can obviously accommodate in the dealership. And this year we're hoping for about 400.
Wow.
Last year we were at 375. We're hoping for 400 this year. I'm sure we will sell out once again this year. So, yes, get your tickets early.
Get them early. You heard it here first. Yes, absolutely. And this is going – now, what is this specifically going to? Do the fundraising events have specific targets within the Hospice of the Chesapeake? Is it going to a particular part?
The fashion show strictly raises money for Chesapeake Kids. So all of the monies we raise goes to support the kids' camps, the bereavement programs within the Life Center, and also for our perinatal and pediatric hospice care within the Life Center. Mm-hmm. But our main focus really is on the kids' camps. If you can pay, great. If you can't, we don't turn you away for the camps.
Mm-hmm.
We reach beyond the Annapolis, Prince George's County area. We have kids that come from the Northern Virginia, Baltimore areas. We have kids that come from different states to attend these camps. As Linda said, it's a very close-knit kids camp. It's showing them that there are other children out there like you that has suffered a loss, and helping them work through the pain of losing a loved one.
So this benefit will go towards helping the children in the bereavement camps.
Yes.
In the program, which is just extraordinary, and especially in view of the fact that anybody can come to it.
Yes.
If you've had a loss, so there's not, and there's if you can't afford it, you can still go. So I love that. Let's just take a brief pause here and let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Wooker. My guests are Tim McDonough, who is a board member and volunteer extraordinaire with the Hospice of the Chesapeake, and Linda Turner, who is the coordinator for the Children's Bereavement Camps. And Linda, you started out as a volunteer at the hospice, right?
I did. I started volunteering as a big buddy for Camp Nobby in 2001. And then soon after my first year as a big buddy, I was asked to be a group facilitator. So I actually ran the middle school group. And then during that time, I'd gotten my master's degree in counseling and kept doing that. And then eventually, 3-4 years ago, I was asked to take over coordinated program and been doing it ever since then. So.
And I suspect you love it.
I absolutely love it. I can't speak highly enough about the program and the power in it. And I could sit here and talk to you till I'm blue in the face, but you could never really understand the feeling until you've experienced it as a volunteer, or I'm sure as the children feel as an attendee.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about what one would expect if your child goes to this camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Camp Nobby, which is our camp for elementary and middle school children, each child is assigned to a big buddy, that's what we call them. And it's an adult volunteer who has been trained, very well trained by us, and also background checked, cleared, all that kind of stuff, interviewed by me. It's a kind of rigid screening process to be a volunteer. We don't seek out our volunteers. They find us. So they're very high quality. Most people come back every year. So I would like to just assure the parents that their kids are in the best hands possible. They get a one-on-one relationship with this big buddy the entire weekend. That person is with them through all the meals. They sleep in the same cabin.
Do they really?
Yes, yes. So it's
or
it's
not
cute.
Sleep.
Well, not sleep. Some of them, yes, you're right. They do, and we have bunk beds, and the kids always get the bottom, and they make the – no, I'm sorry. The kids get the top, and the adults get the bottom. So
I
it works out. It works out good. So parents can be rest assured that their children would be very cared for. And I know that when you're bereaved, there's so much that you're worried about. And the last thing we want to do is make a parent be concerned for
the
children.
At what point in the bereavement process, because it is a process, it's something that takes place over time, would this be for a child who has just experienced immediate loss or perhaps somewhere down the road a little bit when that loss suddenly hits them?
Mm-hmm. I've seen both. I mean, we've had them come in as early as about 4 to 6 weeks if we have space in the camp and it just works out that way. And I've had children return that may have had a loss 7, 8 years ago that they never dealt with. And it's starting to result in behavioral problems and maybe some emotional problems.
Sure.
And, you know, we were able to make the connection that it's probably due to a loss. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just so impressed. And there's so many programs that the hospice offers. Tim, give us just a little bit of overview of some of the things that go on at the Hospice of the Chesapeake.
Well, within the Life Center, so it's a separate arm of hospice.
Your face lights up, so I know you love it.
it's a separate arm from hospice, because hospice as a concept and as a physical place is palliative care for the dying. The Life Center does counseling for not only the partner, the wife, the husband, the child left behind, but also for the community, a family that has suffered a loss by suicide. And unfortunately, suicide is at an all-time high, not only in Anne Arundel County, but across the country. So if you lose a child or a loved one by suicide, we will bring them into the Life Center. If they seek us out for counseling, we do have programs within the Life Center to help with the healing from any kind of a loss. And it doesn't have to be suicide. It could be a car accident. It could be, you know, it could be somebody that just from death that is not in our standard hospice care.
Right, right. Now, let's go back to the original concept of hospice. When it started in England, I believe it was done by a woman who was a nurse and perhaps had more advanced degrees. But was the idea there to provide care for people so that they had someone familiar with them, that they were familiar with, as they're dying?
Right.
I mean, there's no other way to put it. And enabling those people to stay in an environment that was not a hospital and most of the time in their home?
Right. Generally, most people think of hospice as being in your home. So you have palliative care in your home. For those that can, that do have a caregiver that is a husband or a wife and can maintain care within the home, that's where we like to keep them. We do have hospice care in hospitals. We do have hospice care facilities, hospice homes. So if you have a loved one that is unable to take care of you on a day-to-day basis, you can come to the home. And there are different levels of being in the home. There are those that obviously are at the end of their life. They may be there 5 to 7 days, and then they will pass. And then we also have people that come into a hospice home that maybe just need to be stabilized. And they're short-term. They're there for maybe a week or so. They get stabilized enough that they're able to return to their home for the caregiver to continue giving care.
My husband and I first became involved in this, and I'm sure, Tim, you've heard me say this before. When his mother, who had cancer, and her fondest wish was to be able to stay in her apartment, and through hospice and through some other support staff, We weren't able to do that. We were able to do that. She stayed in her apartment, and she lived there until she died. And I always felt so good about that because I felt that without hospice, we would never have been able to accomplish that because they so supplemented the doctors and nurses or anything else. And the volunteer staff, the people who work with the people who are terminally ill, are so impressive.
Yes. Well, the nurses that are there within in the home day to day, they know the patient. They know the medications. We have doctors that are on our hospice staff. They are a little more quick to make changes in medication than maybe your regular doctor where you need mm-hmm. to make an appointment to go in. And if you're in hospice care, you really can't get in the car and go visit your everyday doctor or your general practitioner. Mm-hmm. So our doctors, the hospice doctors and the nurses, are a little bit quicker. So you are not suffering if a change needs to be made in medication.
Yeah. And I think that is so critical, too, to know that people are going to receive the medications they need to keep them comfortable. Because you're really not trying to promote life. You're trying to help a person to be comfortable in the last days of their lives.
Correct.
So, you know, it's a sad subject to talk about, but yet at the same time, it's so hopeful to know that there's such a great support system for mm-hmm. people that you have some place to go and you don't have to grieve alone or you don't have to suffer right. alone. And that to me is mm-hmm. just fantastic. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Tim McDonough, who is a board member and a volunteer with the Hospice of the Chesapeake, and Linda Turner, who is the coordinator for the hospice's children's bereavement camps. And I suppose that we all suffer when there's been a loss in the family, but I suspect that it can oftentimes just be overwhelming for young people, especially children under the teen years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, because I think the hardest part for those that age child, well, kind of depending on the age, the really young ones don't really understand what's going
yes.
on. And then when you hit the adolescent, the preteens kind of years, you know, you do know what's going on. And there's, you know, the experience, the loss, was it expected? Was it traumatic? How's that going to affect the children? And then when you move into the teens, those are the years where no one wants to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And so those adolescent teen years, when they do have a loss, whether it's private or public, really makes them feel different than mm-hmm. most other children. And that is just devastating to a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do provide, I mean, if anything that the camp does, if there's one thing, it allows the children to know they're not alone.
Okay, now we're talking about this camp. Is this something that's ongoing? Is it something that you only do periodically? Mm-hmm. Or tell me how it works.
It is one weekend in August. This year it would be August 9th to the 11th. And it is just a one weekend experience. We do have follow-up care for the rest of the year at both our Annapolis location and our Prince George's Landover office as well.
So this would be sessions with children of the same age
absolutely.
Or individually as needed or whatever?
A little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
Our ongoing program is called Stepping Stones, and the children come in. It's one time a month for 2 hours, and they sort of replicate the things they do in camp. They do arts and crafts. They play. We have a very creative way of working with children. It's definitely not let's sit around and talk, you know?
Yes.
And it's very popular. We can have anywhere from 10 to 15 children at a session. And along with that, we have a parent group. So the parent can bring the child, and the parent meets in a group that I actually facilitate. And then the kids meet in the same building. So they're all there together, and they're getting help at the same time, which is great. So it's more of our continual care for the kids, along with the counseling that we do provide.
Tim, let's tell our listeners a little bit about the evening, the fashion show that you all are going to have. It's on, what, May the 9th, I believe?
It is May the 9th. A Thursday night, we start with cocktail hour at 6 o'clock, and we go to roughly about 9. It is in the Porsche Annapolis, so we have beautiful cars, which we consider our jewelry for the fashion show.
Are you giving away one?
I wish we could, but no, they're kind enough to give us the facility for
right.
the day while we set up runways and chairs and and tables and stuff, and then the evening event, which is a fashion show for both adults and kids. Last year we had 6 kids in the fashion show.
Oh, did you
and
really?
We have
oh,
kids again
cute.
This year. And then we have our adults, and fashions are being provided by Nordstrom's for the adults, for the female. Brooks Brothers is doing the male models, and then we have a store in Annapolis Mall that is doing the children's clothing as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have silent auction items for anybody that wants to bid on a basket of cheer or some fabulous items coming in this year.
Oh, yeah, I know you've had fabulous things in the past at your gala because there have been trips to France and we've been on a dinner that was an absolutely wonderful dinner at an Annapolis restaurant. So there's a lot of fun things to do.
A lot of fun, and do well at the same time. Yes, and it's a very mixed crowd. We have young people there, all the way up to old people like us that just want to come out for
a fun evening. Well, and you can find out information about this event at hospice100.org, and it does sell out. I know that sells out. So at any rate, but it's a great, great cause. Now, your other benefit, you have other things besides, you have a big gala, which is a large fundraiser, dinner. But what are some of the other events that go on during the year?
Well, our 3 main ones are gala, fashion for a cause, and our golf classic, which will be in the fall. We also do join with the other area hospices for the Hospice Cup Regatta.
Oh, really?
Which is early fall. But that also benefits, besides Hospice of the Chesapeake, it benefits Capital Hospice.
I see.
And then 2 other hospices.
Oh, that's great.
As well.
And this is really a sailing event, or what is it?
It is a sailing event. They have a course, they sail, they party all weekend. They have a shore party Saturday evening as the sailors come in. You can buy a memory flag that is flown at the event. So if you want to honor a family member that has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the money is then divided between the hospices.
Oh, that's afterwards. Great. That sounds like a fun event, too.
It's a very fun
event. And that's held down in Annapolis, which is certainly, the sailing capital of the country or
yes.
the world, we like to say?
Yes, it is in Annapolis.
Uh-huh.
At the Annapolis Sailing Marina is where they do the shore party.
And you do that in August, you say?
It is usually in September.
September.
Yes.
What's a great time
it is.
Of year.
A little cooler than August.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that would be an absolutely great time. So people really can keep tuned as to what's going on at Hospice and what kind of services that you offer.
Our main website, which is www.hospicechesapeake.org, always lists on the front page the upcoming events, where you can buy tickets. It also will link you to, if you want to just give, you can click on donation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can follow all of the fundraising events. You can follow various things that are going on in and around hospice. We are purchasing our own campus, which we will soon be moving into.
Oh, really?
So we will actually have a hospice headquarters. Rather than leasing, we will own space. Mm-hmm. We'll be having a capital campaign starting shortly.
To raise funds for that.
To raise funds for our new mortgage.
Well, I will tell you, I think that hospice does such wonderful things and having seen it up close and also having had an opportunity through the years to talk to some of the people, the nursing staff, to people who've benefited from it, to people who have experienced loss, all the way down to people like my mother who was enabled to stay at her home during the last days of her life. So it's a wonderful concept. I hope everyone will support it. You can go to hospicechesapeake.org. Is that correct? And find out all the benefits that are coming up and all the things that you want to, that you may want to attend. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests have been Tim McDonough and Linda Turner of the Hospice of the Chesapeake. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.